It is 5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Monday, December 29, on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. Filling in for Ashlyn O'Hara, I'm Jake Dye. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, a Rasmussen Foundation Award will be used to create an Inupiaq language workbook for kids. But first, next year's legislative session is under a month away and lawmakers have big plans for the year ahead. It's a chance for legislators to pick up on initiatives left unfinished last year and also take on new challenges. There's a lot to discuss, from a possible gas pipeline to Governor Mike Dunleavy's promise to deliver a plan to stabilize the state's finances. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone joined Wesley Early on Alaska News Nightly to talk about what lawmakers are looking forward to in the year ahead.
So, what is on lawmakers' minds?
Well, Wesley, lawmakers are looking at a tight budget this year, just like they were last year. Oil doesn't make up as much of the budget as it used to, only about a quarter of the unrestricted portion of the state budget, which is, you know, what lawmakers fight over every year. Funny enough, permanent fund earnings are likely to be about two-thirds of the unrestricted budget this year, which, if you step back and think about it, that's really something. But oil is still really, really important, a quarter of the budget or so, and each dollar in the price of oil is $25 to $35 million in the state budget. And oil prices are low right now, so a tight budget.
So it's not looking like there's going to be a lot of presents under the Christmas tree this year.
That is correct, Wesley. Not tons of money for new initiatives, no capital projects, and so on. I mean, there will be a capital budget, but it won't be gigantic. I would definitely not count on a large permanent fund dividend this year. Governor Dunleavy, as he always does, proposed dividends around $3,600, but I would expect the final figure to be quite a bit smaller. When I spoke with Senator Bert Stedman earlier this month, he said he was expecting it to look similar to this year's $1,000 dividend, maybe even less.
It's going to be extremely difficult to hold a $1,000 dividend in the next couple of years if oil prices dip in, if they stay where they're at and go lower, particularly if they get in the high 50s. We've got to make payroll.
And right now, North Slope oil prices are just a little over $60.
Okay, so probably another year of low dividends. What else are lawmakers hoping to address this session?
Well, a big thing I've been hearing a lot from lawmakers is preparations for a gas line. The Alaska LNG project, that's the 800-mile pipeline and export terminal that would take North Slope gas south, that's nearing a final decision on whether it'll go forward, and that will probably be a big focus in the legislative session this year. Senator Bill Willikowski, he's an Anchorage Democrat, he says state lawmakers may need to take a look at how the state calculates oil and gas taxes. He says he wants to avoid a situation where companies are able to reduce their oil and gas taxes by deducting the money it costs to build the gas line.
We're seeing the impacts of that with the Willow Project and how ConocoPhillips is spending $1 billion, $1.5 billion, and then writing off hundreds of millions of dollars off of their production taxes. The same situation exists with the natural gas pipeline.
Another thing for lawmakers to consider, whether it's this session or one in the future, is the question of whether the state should actually put up some of its own money to invest in the pipeline. The state could invest as much as a quarter of it, and Willikowski says that's worth looking at.
Obviously, there's risk involved. If there are cost overruns, the state could be on the hook on potential costs. At the same time, I think most people in retrospect would agree that the state probably should have taken an interest in TAPS, for example.
TAPS is, of course, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System, and there's kind of a tightrope for lawmakers to walk here. Most would like to see a gas line built, and for it to be built, it would have to be profitable. But at the same time, lawmakers have to make sure they don't wind up, you know, making a bad deal for the state. Here's Senate President Gary Stevens, a Kodiak Republican.
You know, really, there's just two elements. First is we want to make sure that we encourage development of Alaska's natural resources by the industry. And on the other hand, we want to make sure that we protect Alaskans and that we get our fair share out of our natural resources. So that's the dichotomy we're facing, is how to accomplish those two things.
So yeah, that balancing act will probably be a big focus this year.
What about education? You know, that's been a big topic the past few years. Schools around the state are still looking for more cuts, even after lawmakers approved more funding last year. So what are you expecting, Eric? Should we expect it to dominate the session again this year?
I don't think so. There will certainly be some talk about it, maybe some changes around the edges, but I'm not expecting it to be quite as dominant an issue this year as it was last year. I am hearing some lawmakers would like to take this session to consider inflation-proofing school funding. That's one thing Willikowski and independent Sitka representative Rebecca Himshute both mentioned to me, but I wouldn't expect it to be a big focus, and you know, if I were running a school district, I don't think I would count on lots of extra money this year.
Just a couple months ago, Western Alaska was devastated by the remnants of Typhoon Halong. Recovery work has been scaled back a lot for the winter, and lots of folks are still displaced. Is there anything the legislature can do on that front?
That's a question I put to Representative Nellie Jimmy. She's a Democrat from Tuksuk Bay, and she says she'd like the legislature to beef up public safety funding for Western Alaska so that people in the region can better prepare and respond to emergencies. She says it's just been heartbreaking to see the toll the storm took all over the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta.
That was very hard to see, but it just opened my eyes that we do need an emergency response for a rural, just like they do in the urban areas.
So she'd like to see more money for village public safety officers and other public safety investments in rural Alaska.
Finally, Eric, Governor Mike Dunleavy says he's going to unveil a fiscal plan next month. Do you think lawmakers will make any progress this year?
Well, a fiscal plan requires a lot of hard choices and tough votes, and this year is an election year. And yeah, this is an issue that lawmakers have been trying to crack for a long time. Senator Willikowski, who I talked with earlier, he has a few things he'd like to see to stabilize the state's finances, beefing up oil taxes, a corporate tax bill, actually, that Dunleavy vetoed this year, a few other things. But, you know, it's been a tough nut to crack. Big Lake Republican Representative Kevin McCabe says he would support a cap on state spending, a constitutional amendment saying that there would be a dividend every year, and he says he wants the state to raise revenue through resource development. But he points, you know, to a previous task force. He, you know, there was a 2021 fiscal policy working group, and Kevin McCabe says there are some good ideas in their conclusions that are worth revisiting.
That plan seems to have always been out there. So yes, I would hope that we would take that entire thing, or at least the major elements of it, and take another hard look at it.
But whether lawmakers can actually get it done this year, that much is unclear.
That was Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone speaking with Wesley Early. And finally, from an Inupiaq Wordle game to a new language immersion program, a wave of efforts to revitalize the language has been sweeping across northern Alaska. Earlier this month, one Uktiavik artist received a Rasmussen Award to create an Inupiaq language workbook for kids. Aliona Nyden with the Alaska Desk has more.
Elena Bengston has loved making art since she was a child. Now that she has a child of her own, she wants to use her art to help him learn the Inupiaq language. Bengston is an Utqiagvik artist who recently received the Rasmussen Award to create a workbook that will do just that. She will spend a year designing and illustrating a primer for children that teaches the Inupiaq alphabet and numbers. Bengston says her four-year-old son, Kahaliyauk, was her inspiration for the project.
It all kind of started with creating for him and being able to use those resources. Now that he's like getting into the workbooks, I'm like, oh, I need to create a workbook.
Bengston grew up learning Inupiaq in school, and she says she's still on her own language learning journey. She practices speaking with elders and uses dictionaries and the Rosetta Stone app. But Bengston says children learn differently than adults, and she wanted to create educational materials that cater to the youngest learners.
You start kindergarten, you have the whole workbook, you're learning the alphabet, the numbers, the colors, and we have all that in English, but I'm like, what if we had that in Inupiaq?
Bengston says some resources for learning Inupiaq are available through the North Slope Borough School District, but she says regular parents might not have access to them.
I think it's really born out of necessity. Like, I'm sure there are resources out there. I'm sure there are things, but they're not something you can just go pick up at the store or buy online, you know.
Bengston's project is just one example of the language revitalization efforts in the region. 2 years ago, the school district restarted its Inupiaq immersion program. And a few years before that, Alaska Native linguists created a digital Inupiaq dictionary. And when the popular puzzle game Wordle took off across the country, local linguists and enthusiasts created an Inupiaq version.
I think it's a really important journey, and I think we've been making big strides recently. You know, with the history of it, it's definitely a dying language, but I think it's important we keep it alive.
Bingston says everyone can do their part to preserve the language, and the workbook is just one step for her. In Anchorage, I am Alona Naiden.
That's all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Eric Stone in Juneau and from Wesley Early and Alyona Naiden in Anchorage. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Jake Dye. Have a great night.
My name is Iris Pavios, and I'm 10 years old, and I'm here today to talk to you about why KDLL is so important to our community. Like, for example, Science Friday is super important to me because it helps me understand the world around me, and I'm sure that it's the same for a lot of people, too. And this is one of the many reasons you should support or donate to KDLL.
Thanks, Iris. If you appreciate and value public broadcasting on the Kenai Peninsula, donate now at kdll.org.